Are you guys ready? You guys ready? Oh, here comes Danny. Okay. All right, so my sister was here last week visiting with us, and so I asked her if she would help me come up with a children's story. And so we thought about it, and we decided about a story long ago when we were little. And so, Noah, I'm going to ask you to, if you don't mind, to come up and help me. Can you do that, Noah? No? Can you come help me? Because you're the oldest. Do you mind? Come on. So what I want you guys to do, you that are sitting there, is while Noah's opening up this present, I need you to close your eyes. You can't watch. I know it's going to be really, really hard, but you can't watch him open the present. Let me see you close your eyes. I don't want to see. If you have to cover your eyes, whatever you got to do, you can't watch. Lynette, I still see your eyes open. Okay, are you ready, Noah? Okay, you can't open them. Danny, I said, get your eyes open. Got to close them. Don't look. Don't look. Make it loud. Very good. Okay, open your eyes. How was that to not be able to see him open the present? Was it hard? It was good? Ah. Eyes closed. What? It was hard. Yeah, okay. Hold that for later. Can you share with everybody later? So I want to tell you this story. You can open your eyes now. Massimo, you can open your eyes. That was really good. Okay. So I want to tell you a story about my sister and I. When we were like, I think probably, maybe Noah's age, we decided that we were not going to wait for my parents to wake up on Christmas morning to open our presents. We had had it, and we just were not going to do it. So we asked my mom and dad, do we have to wait for you to wake up, or can we just open them up ourselves? And so, because both of my parents are teachers, they graciously said to us, no, you don't have to wait for us, but we'd like you to film it back then for us so we can see you open your presents, because we won't be up to see the joy on your faces when you open the present. And so my sister and I decided, well, it didn't matter. So we got up at like 5 in the morning, and we got out the film camera, and we filmed each other opening up our presents, just my sister and I, thinking it was going to be so awesome to get up early and not wait for mom and dad and just forget the whole thing. So we opened up the presents, and we filmed each other, and it was over. All the presents were open. My mom and dad were still sleeping. And it was like, that wasn't very much fun. And we thought it was going to be so much fun, but we learned it wasn't much fun at all to not see our mom and dad who had taken the time to wrap up all the presents. It wasn't fun because we opened up the presents and they didn't see the joy of having us open up the presents. And we learn that part of it is in seeing people be excited when you give them a gift, right? Right. So my parents, I thought, were pretty smart, because they made us learn by our mistakes. And do you think that God is smart? What?
Yeah.
You think so? I think he's pretty smart too. And do you know what he does? He gives us this. What's this?
Bible.
Right. And you know what? He lets us make mistakes. Did you know that? He actually does. He lets us make mistakes, but he gives us what?
Bible.
Yeah, his word. You know why? Because his word can teach us that if we make a mistake, how to do better when we try it again. So I wanted to read you this scripture. This is from 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3. But you should continue following the teaching that you have learned. You know that they are true because you trust those who taught you. Since you were a child, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise. And all that wisdom leads to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture, yeah, is given by God and is useful for teaching, for showing people what is wrong in their lives, and correcting faults. That's what happened with me and my sister. My mom and dad didn't have to teach us anything. They just showed us that. Yeah, and for teaching us how to live right. So it says, use the scriptures, and the person who serves God will be capable, having all that is needed to do every good work. Yeah? So, Sophia, can you pray for me today? Thank you. And then you guys can all take one of the gifts that's inside the present that Noah opened for you guys to have later.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you gave us. We thank you for your presence and for our family and friends and for everything that you gave us. Amen.
Okay, you guys can grab one of the presents that's inside the gift that Noah opened, and you guys have a nice Sabbath.
Good morning, happy Sabbath. I just wanted to read to you a verse, Revelation chapter 21, actually verses 1 through 4. This is from the Clear Word version of the Bible, or paraphrase of the Bible. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. God had recreated it just as he had made it in the beginning. The old earth with its polluted atmosphere was gone, and so were the huge oceans. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down out of heaven from God, like a beautifully dressed bride ready to meet her husband. I heard a loud voice coming from the throne saying, God will now make it his home on earth. He will personally live with his people and be with them. They will be part of the royal family of heaven, and God will truly be their God. He will wipe away all their tears, and there will be no more death. Neither will there be any more sorrow, crying, or pain. The old order of things is now forever gone. I just think that is so beautiful. And we're going to sing for you the Holy City. And I hope that everyone here is looking forward to being in God's recreated Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, the Holy City.
Shadow of a lost sorrows upon and the scene was changed. The earth there seemed to be.
I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea.
The light of God was on its streets. The gates were open wide.
And overwood by and no one was denied.
No need of moon or stars by night or sun to shine by day.
It was the new Jerusalem, the moon on pass away. It was the
thank you for that beautiful rendition. That was indeed special music. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we love you and praise you. We thank you for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us. Lord, at this time of the year, we especially remember your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to earth and died for us, took on our sins, and gave us a promise of salvation for those who choose to believe in him. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit and pray for its help and guidance. And we thank you for our guardian angels, and for the spiritual gifts that have been given to us. Lord, please help us to be good stewards of these gifts and to utilize them for your purposes and to fulfill the calling that you have for each of us. Lord, we lift up to you those who are not as fortunate as us, for the poor, the sick, the disabled, the suffering, the homeless, and the imprisoned, those who have lost jobs and homes. We especially lift up to you the homeless folks who were here at our church this past week. And we pray that they will find new homes in the very near future. Lord, we pray for those who cannot be with us today. We especially for those who are ill or for other purpose, other reasons. We lift up you Luke and the service for him this coming week. We pray that he is resting peacefully with you. And we pray for the Nishikawas as they make their move to Maui. We lift up you, Stephanie, and the difficulties she's having with her pregnancy. And we pray for Enga. We pray that she will rest in peace with you. Lord, we ask now that you be with Pastor Abbott as he presents the sermon. We pray that this service will be pleasing to you. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Amen.
Please turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke capitulo 2. And as you're headed there, I'd like to begin this morning with a short Christmas quiz just to wake us up and get us going. All right? Are you ready? On December 24th, what was Adam's wife known as? What would they call Adam's wife on December 24th? Christmas Eve, right? They're good. What do you call an opinion survey in Alaska? An opinion survey in Alaska. Polar bear? An opinion survey in Alaska is called the North Pole. The North Pole. Here's my favorite, actually. When the salt and pepper say hi to each other, what are they passing on? Season's greetings. That was good. You're right. You're on track there. All right, two more. What do you call a very good man with no change in his pockets? Besides Pastor John, what do you call that? Very good man with no change in his pockets. Yes, St. Nicholas. That's right, James. Boy, you got that one. All right, you might have to hablar español un poquito for this one. What do Spanish sheep say when they wish each other a Merry Christmas? Feliz Navidad. Instead of Feliz, Feliz Navidad. Did you get that, Melody? Was that you? Okay, bueno. All right, very good. All right, now I'm sorry I had to pun-ish you like that. But I like puns because they show the creative power of words. In fact, I wonder if it's possible to miss the message of Christmas because we've heard the words so many times before that we've lost sight of their magnitude and significance. Today, as we look at the message of Christmas, we're going to take the newspaper approach. Do you know what the newspaper approach is to a sermon? We're going to divide the sermon into questions like who, what, when, those kinds of things. And hopefully by the end, we will better able to appreciate the magnitude and appeal of God's wondrous Christmas message. So let's dig in. You're in Luke chapter 2. By the way, we have a study guide with fill-ins that you could also take out as well, and we'll get to those in just a moment. Well, you know how the story begins. Shepherds were out in the field keeping watch over their dolphins by night. Right? What? They were watching. This is Hawaii. Don't they have dolphins? Isn't that what they do? The turtles. It wasn't dolphins, it was turtles. Of course, it wasn't dolphins. Wrong part of the world. What were they watching then, girls? What were they watching? Sheep, yes. The shepherds were keeping watch over their sheep by night. And at first, when the angels appeared to them, the old King James says the shepherds were sore afraid. I've always loved that translation. Have you ever been so afraid that it made you sore? You know, when fearfulness gnaws at you day after day, it can make your entire being ache with anxious thoughts. So this idea that you can be sore afraid There are people I've met that have been so afraid. Life has beaten them day after day with fearfulness and anxiety, and they feel it. They feel it in their muscles and their bones. But the great news is, the beginning of the Christmas message, as given by the angel to the shepherds, says we don't need to stay that way any longer, because in verse 10, the angel's first words to them are, do not be afraid. The shepherds were afraid when they saw the angels at first. Jesus talked about men's hearts failing them for fear of those things coming on the earth. But the angel has good news. He says, do not be afraid. That's the first fill in your study guide, the word not, and that's the first part of the Christmas message. God says, do not be afraid. He has not come to diminish our life, but to give us the most significant, meaningful life today and for all of eternity. So don't be afraid of God and what He has to offer. God's not out to hold us back, but to set us free and move us ahead. And that's why Jeremiah 29:11, God says, for behold, no, let's do the Christmas message again. Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. No. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for what? To hold you back? Plans to mess your life up? Plans to diminish your life? No, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. So many people today, you know why young people have such a diminished view of God, that He's out to hold us back? Because they get it from their parents, first of all. And we get it from their church members. We get it from people who have this diminished view of God, and they see it in the church members' faces. God is not someone to worship and be excited about. God is a serious, restrictive thing. And young people get that picture. No. God is someone worth giving your whole life to. God is not someone to be afraid of. He's someone to be a friend of. And that's the next fill-in. Friend. Not someone to be afraid of, but someone to be a friend of. God is someone who expands our life, not diminishes it. God is someone, as we'll see, who brings nothing but great joy. But there's more to this what part of the Christmas message. We're looking at the what part of the message now. The angel says, don't be afraid, because I bring you what kind of news? Good news. How many of you would like some good news in your paychecks? How many of you would like good news from your families, your relatives, your in-laws? I don't know, your dog. I don't know, but you want finally some good news. The world is dying for good news, right? Every time that phone rings, we're afraid these days. What's it going to be this time? You know, more bad news. When I get home, when I get to church, when I get to wherever, is it going to be good news or bad news? Well, God comes with good news. You say, well, if God were to ever show up at my house, I doubt He'd have good news for me, because I'm such a, one old word, rascalia. I'm just a whippersnapper. I'm just a bad guy. No, God came to the human race, and He didn't come with condemning news. He came with what kind of news? Good, hopeful, saving, life-transforming news. That's who God is. God does not come to diminish our life. God does not come to make us afraid. God comes to open our lives wide open to the greatest love we could ever know. Now, I want to expand on that word, good news. This is one of the greatest words. This word in Greek, in the Greek, original Greek language, is one of the most all-encompassing, beautiful words you could ever hear. You should learn, if you don't learn any other Greek word, you'll learn this one. The Greek word for good news is euangelion, and it means good news. One of the most positive words you could ever hear. Here's when it was used. It was normally used when, in times of famine. How do you feel in times of famine? You feel good? Hungry? Famine gets bad enough, you go into starvation, right? So picture a time of hunger and starvation, when mothers can't feed their children, when stomachs are distended, where there's no food kitchen to get help from even. There's no family promise available because nobody has food. It's a terrible time a dismal, hopeless time. But then, ships arrive in port, bringing food and grain supplies to the cities in that region. And when those ships docked, when they came to port, messengers would sound the cry, "Euangelion!" What are they saying? When the ships came in with food, "Euangelion!" What are they saying? Good news! Can you just imagine that? People are starving. There's no hope for them. And these ships come. We've heard of your plight. Messengers have reached us. Here is food to save you. Good news, Euangelion, ships have come in with food to save us. All our lives are saved. What a great word. Euangelion, that is the word for good news of the gospel. And that message is just as relevant today as it was back then. Did you know that? The world is spiritually starving. The world is starving today, not just physically, but spiritually. They are about to perish. The Bible says the wages of sin is eternal death, right? The world's about to perish without a Savior, but today God has his gospel messenger streaming to all parts of the globe saying, "Euangelion, good news, Christ has come to save us from eternal ruin. There's no need for any of us to perish. I have a dream." Good news, Euangelion people. You know what that dream is? Manoa, Japanese, Honolulu Japanese SDA Church is going to have streams of light, Euangelion messengers going to all parts of the globe with the gospel. You say, "You're crazy. What a far-fetched dream is that?" I don't think so. You know why? There are so many programs this great Advent movement has, including the Share Him program, where young people go, they learn, it's with DVDs and scripts, and the people are prepared in Tanzania or cities of Peru or perhaps somewhere in Fiji or the South Pacific, wherever it is. They prepare, we prepare, and young people, teenagers, are giving the gospel appeal. They are sharing the great news, the Euangelion news of Christ. Did you know what? We could send our people all throughout this globe in teams of evangelists. And do you know what that would do for our own church when we came back here? I'm telling you, whenever you do mission, it gets you excited. When I went to do a years of student mission service, I came back a transformed person. And then I co-portered, and I was even stronger for God. It made me a missionary. So some people say, "I can be a missionary when I go to Korea or Tanzania, but when I get back here, I lose that." No, I tell you, when that gets in your heart, you never lose it. You become an Euangelion messenger for Jesus Christ. Who wants to say Euangelion to the world with Jesus? Anybody want to do that? We're going to have opportunities. You pray about that because this is going to happen. And our church got a taste this last couple months of being good news messengers. And it was a beautiful experience, wasn't it? It was beautiful. Chris is here today because of it. And she's praising God and glad to be with us. And we're glad you're here, Chris. We're glad you're here. All right. So learn that word. But let's add something to this. Good word, Euangelion. If you had no job or income, you couldn't buy food or medicine for your family. And when all seemed lost, someone unexpectedly came offering you a secure job with full benefits. What kind of news would that be to you? To a humble, thankful person, would they go to their wife and say, "Sweetheart, I've got some, well, news for you"? Would it just be news? No food, no money for food or medicine, no job, no insurance, but they get a job that covers all those things now. Would the guy say, "Well, I've got news"? No, he'd say, "What? I've got good news," right? But did you know the gospel is even described better than that? Did you know that? Yeah, this guy, he's finally got a way to give money, food, medicine for his family. "I've got good news." The gospel is described in even better terms than that because the need the gospel supplies is even greater. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? What shall it profit us if we have $1 million and all the medicine in the world but we're lost for eternity? The gospel is better than that because the angel says he has good news of great joy. Great is the next fill-in. And not just good news, it's great news. Praise the Lord. Here is something when I was preparing this message, it just inspired me so much. These thoughts came to mind. Here's something that can change your life if you allow it. Listen to this. Oh, I wish you would chew on this today. There is no news on earth that could ever be greater than the great news of the gospel. To think about that. There is no news on earth that could ever be greater than the great news of the gospel. Why? Because when you come to realize how much you need him, Jesus, and how much he can really be to you, then you discover that no news on earth could ever be greater than the good news of your salvation in Christ. You see that? That makes sense? What does the Bible say again? Jesus said, I came to give you lottery winnings. That was your great need. Did he say that? No, I came to give you a full head of hair. Did he promise that? What did he promise? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see, the big thing on earth, people are wondering, well, I've got to have the money. I've got to have this. I've got to have the prestige. I've got to have the house. No, that's not our greatest need. Our greatest need is salvation in Christ. So no news is greater than the great news of our salvation. And that's not just good news. That's good news of great joy, because that's our greatest need. In fact, ever hear someone say something like, whoa, dude, that's mega awesome? Ever hear kids say that? Whoa, totally, dude, that is like mega cool. You know, ever hear kids say that? Mega cool. Put the word mega in there. All right. You young people who were using that surfer talk there, you didn't realize you were speaking Greek. You were speaking Greek. You know why? The word for great in Greek is mega. We use it. Phone is voice. Mega is great. You know a megaphone? Megaphone. So when someone says, oh, mega, totally cool, dude, they're just saying great, wonderful. That's what they are doing. Now, imagine if the angel had said to the shepherds, I have good news. Shepherds, gather around. Here we go. Oh, there's an angel. Yes, Mr. Angel. Yes, Mr. Angel. Okay, shepherds, I just thought I'd come from heaven to earth. God sent me here to give you good news of little joy. You called us away from our job to give us good news of little joy. You know what the problem in the church today is? We act like we only have good news of little joy. That's the problem. I don't want to spank you folks, but if the gospel was great, good news of great joy, this church would have been filled with all of you in it and your friends, if it was good news of great joy. I'm thankful that we're starting with little joy, but God wants it to become good news of great joy. We could have been here, folks. We could have been supporting with the gospel. We could have been inviting more people. We could have shown up. But it's because the good news is only little joy to you right now. Well, God doesn't want to keep it little joy. He wants it to become great joy. And you can kick me out if you want for saying it. But the gospel is not little joy. It's great joy. It's great joy. Hallelujah. It's something to be excited about. And that's why I personally went to neighbors. That's why I went to the Walmarts and the Costcos, and I invited people, and I invited friends. I just didn't leave it up to you. We did our best, Marie invited people, not because we're great or anything, but because we believe the gospel is good news of great joy. If it was just little joy to me, I wouldn't have taken the time to go to those Walmarts. I wouldn't have taken time to go up to people I don't know and at least try. But the good news is great joy. And that's why I want to raise up teams of missionaries, young and old alike, working together to share the gospel of great joy. I don't want to hear excuses anymore because Jesus is coming soon. Either you're a Christian or you're not. Finally, make a decision, folks. Make a decision who you're going to live for. I need to make this decision every day. It's a real life-changing thing. It affects my TV choices. It affects my language. It affects my joy. It affects my evangelistic output. It affects who we visit in hospitals and what we say to them. Folks, the day of playing church is over. The gospel is not good news of little joy. It's good news of great joy. Either you believe that or you don't. If you don't, why believe it? Why do you come? Why do you come? Year after year, just to be a social club, just to show up. Folks, there's such little time to get that Evangelion good news out. There's such little time. I'm not here to shame you. I'm here to say you've got to believe the times we're living in. They've changed. They've changed. Jesus is coming soon. He loves you, and our lives have to demonstrate that we really know it's not little joy. It's great joy now. And so the Christmas message is the good news of mega, huge, unconquerable joy. How big is mega joy? How big is it? Let me tell you, it's a joy so big that it can overcome and swallow up all the bad news this world can ever throw at you. Hallelujah. That's how big the great joy is. It's so big, it can swallow up, it can conquer, it can overcome all the bad news this world can ever throw at you and me. I've got to tell you, I've done so many funerals, plenty here. Of course, we just had the graveside interment for Luke Nishikawa, beautiful service they had in a beautiful area, and the family has been so beautiful, such beautiful faith Koji and the family have had. But let me tell you something about this great joy that can swallow up. As an Adventist pastor, having seen death so many times with funerals, things like this, I have seen countless Christians facing their own imminent death or the death of a loved one, but because of their faith in Jesus Christ, the mega joy of the gospel has swallowed up and conquered the worst news that a human being could ever receive. You're going to die. Your baby's going to die. Your wife's going to die. I have seen their faith. You know, Adventists die better than anyone I've ever seen. Because they have the blessed hope. They have this great joy. They have this thing that sustains them, that says there's more Christ took the sting out of death and the grave because of the resurrection. And so we have this great news, good news of great joy that can swallow up all the bad news of the world. But wait, how many did God want to extend this great joy to? Did the angel say, I have great news, I have great joy for a few people in Arlington, Texas? Is that what he said to the shepherds? Are only people in Arlington going to be saved? Did God only come to save them, but not those in Milwaukee? No. The angel said, I have good news of great joy for how many? For all people. That's the next fill-in. All people. There's good news for everyone because a solution to the sin problem has been given to the entire human race. You know what that means? The message of Christmas says that everyone, everywhere, can be relieved of their greatest burdens, their deepest fears, and their darkest past because of the message of Christmas. So now we know the what of the Christmas message. Now we're going to go on to another newspaper question, and that is the when of Christmas. When does this great gift come to us? Verse 11 says, this unto you is born this day a Savior. That's the next fill-in, this day. The Savior came on that day 2,000 years ago, and he would finally wind up on a cross, dying for the sins of the world. So when will this Christmas gift come to you and me? I don't mean this to be a tricky question, but people make it a tricky question. When did this gift come? Two thousand years ago, the gift of salvation came to the whole human race. Read Romans chapter 5. All men were justified in Christ at the cross 2,000 years ago. When did the gift of justification, come to the human race? 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. That means that this gift was given to you before you were what? Even born. That gift was waiting for you. The question now comes back to what you folks were saying up here. When will you accept it? That's the question. Not when was it given. It was already given to the human race 2,000 years ago. The question is, when will you accept it? It's already been given. Before you were born, when will you accept it? The gospel appeal is, accept him now. Don't wait a minute longer. Accept him this very moment. Well, we've seen the what and when of the Christmas message. Now let's look at the where. Where did Christmas first take place? I think you know this. The Bible says, in the city of David. What was the city of David? Bethlehem, meaning house of bread in Hebrew. That's where David grew up. That's where the Savior was predicted to come from, was the town of Bethlehem. The prophet Micah 5:2 had said that. But then verse 11 tells us the who of Christmas. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the what? The Lord. You know what the word Savior means? A lot of people don't know this. What's the word Savior mean? Deliverer. Deliverer. Now the word salvation, it can encompass healing, deliverance, rescue, lots of things. One succinct way to say it is deliverer. The Bible says the angel told Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their bank accounts, their sins. You know, people say, God has done me wrong. God hasn't gotten me the job. God hasn't done this, that. Do you know the one thing God has promised? To save us from our sins. Everything else becomes a matter of faith and trust and Christian growth and trusting God. God never said, I guarantee you anything, but that I will wash your sins away and give you your greatest need, which is eternal life. Will God help us and supply? Will God help us through all these things? Of course he will. But God never promised us a smooth passage. But he did promise us a safe landing in his eternal kingdom. Remember that. He never said that the ride would be without bumpiness. But he did say, I'll get you there, didn't he? I'll get you to that eternal kingdom. I'll ultimately get you there. All right? Someone has said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior, a Savior. And not only was he Savior, the angel also called him Christ, which means Messiah, the anointed one who's to bring salvation to the world. And the angel called him one more title, Savior, Messiah, Savior, Christ, and Lord. Lord. Did you know what? This title was reserved for God alone. So the angel was saying, this baby that was born in Bethlehem, I've got to tell you in this message, this baby's not just God's representative on earth. This is God who came from heaven to earth. This is God. So that title is only reserved from God. Jesus as Savior, only the Holy One of God, Isaiah says, can be the Savior of the world. All right? We're almost done. Let's quickly go to the why of Christmas. Why did the Savior come? The angel said, a Savior has been born to you. And I love this. When the shepherds heard this news, what did they do? They sat at home and watched the next game. A Savior has been born to you. Oh, there's that little joy again. Get out the rook cards. Savior's been born to you. Get out my book. Savior's been born to you. Let's put on this. What? What does the Bible say? What was their response? They hurried off and found the baby. When you realize that you have a Savior, you don't sit there anymore going, so what? You go, I have a Savior? This is great news. And they hurried. They made haste to find the baby. This is my salvation. This is my gift. This is my way to eternal life. How could I put it off? How could I disregard or distance myself from this beautiful baby who's come to save me? You see, how could we? When this great news, when we realize it, what it's saving us from, how could we disregard it or diminish it? No, they ran. And earlier, at the beginning of today's sermon, we said, words do have power. Words have power because the message of the Savior's birth went into the shepherd's ear, down to their heart, all the way to their feet as they took off to worship God's Son. When the angel told them, the Savior's born to you, they acted and responded to those words. And so, the bottom line is, folks, this gift will never do us any good until we accept it for ourselves, until we respond and act upon it. So the next question of the Christmas message is, how do we make Jesus our own Savior? Well, after the one angel appeared, suddenly an entire army of angelic hosts filled the sky with an outpouring of adoration, and they sang, what? Glory to God in the highest. Oh, can you imagine? I wish we could have heard that singing. They couldn't help but break into praise because the Savior Christ Lord had been born, and their songs of adoration led them to declare a message of peace, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And so how does, you say, well, that doesn't include me. Peace to men on whom his favor rests. How many of you believe that God's favor rests on you today? How many of you believe it doesn't? Well, you know what the Bible says? Sounds like a select group only that God came to save. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Right? So who is this group on whom his favor rests to bring salvation? It is the God who so loved Arlington, the whole world, the whole entire globe. So all of us are included on God's desire, and peace is the Hebrew word shalom. And if you were to go someone, Kiana, and you would say, shalom, my sister, to you, what would I be wishing, Kiana? I'd be saying, I wish you God's healing and presence so much in your life that it would heal and make you whole inside and out and give you total well-being. Peace to every part of your being, inside and out. It's a beautiful blessing, isn't it? Shalom means peace in every part of your being. And so to wind up the message, the Christmas message gives us three kinds of peace. I love this. First, it gives us peace with God. With is the next fill-in. With God vertically, peace from above. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great news? Christmas message gives us peace with God. And next, it gives us the peace of God internally from within. First one gives us peace with God from above. Next gives us the peace of God from within. When you know that you're forgiven and accepted by the Lord, it gives us peace within ourselves. And that's why Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. And you know what? As we grow in our walk with God, the Holy Spirit brings us more and more of that blessed peace. And finally, the gift of Christmas and the Christmas message gives us peace with others horizontally around us. So you get the picture? Peace with God vertically above, peace of God within us, right? And then peace with others horizontally around us. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." In closing, Paul the Apostle summed up this gift of peace by saying, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." So let me ask you, the angel called him Savior, Christ, and Lord. So is he your Savior, your Christ, your Lord? The baby was God's own son, and he came to change the world. As he changed yours, as he changed mine, God has the perfect message for us, wrapped up in the perfect gift. So won't you open your heart to his message and your arms to his gift and receive him just now? Our closing song this morning is called "What Child Is This?" A wondrous, wondrous gift of acceptance and salvation. It's not just a little joy. It's a great joy that this gospel good news brings. Let's stand and receive him together.